This
I
conference will
cannot.
now be recorded.
I pressed the button. There you
There we
go.
go. Thank you, Zach.
Did we
Perfect.
get Tanya?
Okay. Say it again.
Did we? I see Tanya, but is she there?
It said self-muted, and now the self-muted is off, so I'm thinking maybe she's trying to speak, but we can't hear her. At
Okay.
least I can't. Hey, Tanya, if you're trying to speak to us, we can't hear you, but we could keep an eye on the chat application. Otherwise, you could call into the audio portion if you'd like to the phone number. I think we'll go ahead and get started, though, if that sounds okay to everybody. We are recording it, so if anybody comes through partway through or has to drop off, we'll be able to share the recording afterwards. But wanted to give kind of this first session of account administrator training. So just a reminder, the account administrator is the highest permission level in the GovDelivery software. And then there are kind of two traditional roles that fall below the account administrator. The group administrator is kind of a middle permission role, and then the topic administrator is kind of that third role, but very important, has the ability to create bulletins, send out bulletins, upload lists to the topics they work with. So we're going to cover some of the basics that an account administrator can do and some of the responsibilities they have in kind of maintaining the account, which is important in all accounts, but maybe even more so in for an account like Clark County, where it's a single large account with many different departments throughout the county that are working in there. So we're going to log in here. I've set myself up as an account administrator. I think most of you already have that permission level assigned, and hopefully you've been able to set a password and log in at least once so far. If you have any questions while we're chatting here today, please don't hesitate to just kind of jump in or interrupt, say, hey, Ben, hey, Zach, quick question over here. And we're happy to try and field it for you. So I'm going to log in. I've set myself up, as I said, as an account administrator in the Clark County account. So we're going to hit sign in there. There is a reset my password option on that page. If you ever forget your password, you can click that little link, reset my password, and it will send your email that's set up on file a new password link where you can reset that. So we first log in and we're presented with this dashboard view. We have our main navigation menu along the left-hand side of the screen. And then here in the middle of the screen, the dashboard, you might occasionally see an announcement posted here on the dashboard. Right now, it looks like there's a couple of them here. It's usually pretty quiet in this middle area of the screen. These announcements can come from our customer support team, sometimes about, upcoming webinars or maintenance if something's going on, on a Sunday night, late at night or something in the system. The other place an announcement on this dashboard can be or can come from would be you guys as account administrators. So as an account administrator, you also have the ability to create an announcement and post it here. This is kind of like an internal message board. So your coworkers who log into this GovDelivery account would see the message. So in a large account like this, we've seen people sometimes posting reminders about, how to operate or best practices or, simple things like to create a new bulletin, click on bulletins in the upper left and then click on create advanced bulletin. Those are helpful tips that you guys as account administrators can create and post here. So again, these are announcements on the left-hand side and they show up here in the middle of the screen. We're going to look at some of the menu items on the left-hand side. But before we get to that, I want to point out in the upper right corner, we have a link to our customer support page, as well as your login name, which is also a drop-down menu. If we click that, we're shown which account or the account name that we're logged into, so Clark County, Nevada here. We also, as account administrators, have access to account settings. This is one area that definitely sets the account administrator apart from a group or a topic administrator, the ability to access these account settings. We're going to look at a few of those in just a bit here. Before we do, want to point out it will say which role you have. So again, the account administrator here. And then below that, you do have access to your profile and some security type of questions that you can set up. Down below that, we have another link to our customer support page and then a sign out option here. The support page, I think, is a helpful tool. If you click on it here or here, it will bring you to our knowledge base, which has articles related to the GovDelivery software. So you can also search for things, or it will pull up articles with links to other articles here. So again, that's the support link in the dropdown. It also exists outside of the dropdown up here, just meant to be a little more visible or helpful for you guys. The profile and security section, I'll point this out. As I mentioned, you can fill out additional information, phone number, department. This is pretty much all internal information here. You can set up some additional security questions if you'd like. On the right-hand side of the screen, we have now kind of this sub-menu related to the profile and security, you know, section here. So this is a common layout or a common display in the GovDelivery software where you'll click on something and then you'll get a right-hand menu related to that specific area. And with the profile and security, I want to point out this notifications tab. As account administrators, you guys are automatically set up by default to receive courtesy copies or carbon copies of all outgoing bulletins for all topics. So I mention this because sometimes it can get a little overwhelming or burdensome to be receiving those courtesy or carbon copies. If you'd like to turn that off, you do have the ability here to turn it off for all topics, or you could pick and choose which topics you want to turn it off for. Might not be that big of a deal, but as your account grows, just know that you do have the ability to turn that off. Okay, let's check out some of the account settings. So again, clicking on in the upper right corner, my name, which is a drop-down menu, and then clicking on the account settings option here. We're brought to the account information at first. This is an area that is, you know, set up by Zach and I during implementation, but you do have the ability to edit or modify some of these things. If, for example, you know, your web page, your home page ever changed the URL or the contact URL, you would have the ability to modify those here. There isn't a ton to do here on this information tab, but you can see that you do have the ability to edit some of this. And as I just mentioned, we now have kind of this right-hand sub-menu related to where we are in the account, in the software. So again, we're under account settings. We're viewing information now, but below that, we have some additional tabs. I'll touch on a few of these that I think are pretty important for you guys to know about. The first one is snippets. This snippets tab allows you to find little snippets of code that can be used for sign-up options. So these are sign-up options that are just kind of default out of the box. They're not particularly styled or designed. Our design team can help with some of that. So we've had a couple requests come through for things like a branded overlay that our design team will create. Here we have, I would say, quicker, just ready-to-go options, but again, they're not really styled or branded. You can find here, which I think is helpful, the URL to sign up for all of the topics in the Clark County account. So this is kind of the top level sign up URL that would show a subscriber all topics that are listed as publicly visible. You can see that URL is kind of embedded here in the code. You could either copy it from here if you wanted to put it on a website or link it to a button. The other thing you could do is open this link in a new tab. And on this tab, you're going to get up at the top, of course, the URL. And this would allow you to, you know, create some type of sign-up option, whether it's linking text or linking to a button, kind of this top level sign up page. So again, here on the right, we're under snippets, and these are just kind of little quick snippets of code, including that top level sign up URL. Below that, API tokens, nothing set up here at the moment. Below that, we have category hierarchy. So categories, we've set one up for, yep.
Hey, sorry.
Go ahead.
The API token, so there's an API that I can work with if needed.
Yeah, exactly. Gov Delivery does have some available, and we can share resources if you're interested in learning a little more about that, but not currently doing anything with it at the moment.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good question. Thanks for asking. Here we have a category hierarchy. So categories are kind of like the storage unit, I guess, for topics. So topics are like the individual distribution lists, and then categories kind of store those topics. So we, so far, have set up categories for the four different departments that have turned in their implementation worksheet. If you ever wanted to kind of rearrange how these categories show up on the sign-up tree, so if we were to enter our email address here, we would see the display of some of those topics and categories. I'll just show you that briefly so you kind of have an understanding. So here we have three categories showing. The fourth one isn't showing because it doesn't have any topics yet associated with it. So if you ever wanted to rearrange the order in which these categories display on this page, you could do so here on the category hierarchy page. It kind of uses this drag and drop tool. So if you wanted to drag one of these categories to a different position, you could do so and kind of reorder these. Below that, we have the ability to create page watch schedules. So if you guys remember, page watch is kind of an automation feature that can be set up for a topic to monitor a particular web page or an RSS feed for changes. And if that topic using PageWatch notices a change on the RSS feed it's monitoring or that HTML page it's monitoring, it can automatically draft and send out a bulletin to those topic subscribers. Here with the PageWatch schedules, you can create a schedule to watch for changes at different times. So the default schedule that's set up automatically here, you can see has checkboxes all over, basically saying it's going to watch every day of every month at the top of every hour. So that's the default schedule, is basically hourly, daily and hourly. You can create additional page watch schedules. So you could set one to, for instance, watch something weekly. And then when you go to use page watch on a topic, that's where you have the ability to say, I want to use page watch schedule A, page watch schedule B, kind of whatever you've set up here. Below that, we're going to move a little quicker here. Quick subscribe categories. So we have the ability to set up quick subscribe pages similar to this. So this is the account top level default showing you all categories and all topics, but we can also set up URLs or quick subscribe pages for each category and each department. That's something that I'll work on in the next couple of days. So each department, like Parks and Rec, will have its own quick subscribe page, and it would, when you pull up that URL, would only show their category and their topics. After somebody completes the sign up for that, then they would be shown the complete quick subscribe page. Just a couple other items here I want to point out quickly. Message history. This can be a helpful place to look for kind of some of the automated messages that go out in the system. So these aren't the bulletins, the newsletters, the press releases that you guys create and send out. These are more like system generated messages. So if you see here, this was the message I received when I set myself up as a new account administrator. So in the future, if you're ever adding a coworker as a new administrator, for example, and they say, hey, I didn't get that admin welcome message where I can set up my password, you could potentially look under message history and find that and say, yep, it did go out. It had the subject of welcome new administrator. Try searching for that in your inbox. You'll see here, there are a number of different types of messages. So if we were to search for something over the last week, we might see a few more. There we go. You know, password change requests, test bulletins, for example, assigning a topic to a category, just different things like that. But it can be kind of a helpful place, at least to know it exists. Some of these automated messages that go out of the system. Message history here. Below that, we have questions order. So this would give us the ability to kind of arrange the order of questions that are asked to subscribers coming into the account. So we'll get some questions set up for things like first name, last name, zip code, that type of thing. And here you would be able to kind of rearrange the order of those questions. Maybe you want to add zip code first instead of first name or something like that. You could reorder them here. Subscriber restrictions below that. You can create a subscriber restriction that allows only certain criteria to sign up for a topic or to subscribe for a topic. So you could create a restriction that is something like only, you know, clarkcounty.gov email addresses can sign up for this topic. And then once you create the restriction, you can then apply it to a topic. So if you're interested in that, know that you have to create the restriction first and then apply it to the topic. Below subscriber restrictions, we have footers. This is an area you might find yourself working in a little bit more than some of these other areas in the account settings. We have a default footer here, and we also have an additional footer set up for Commissioner Jones that has kind of social media icons and social media links. So as account administrators, you guys do have the ability to create footers and modify footers. You can see here, we've got our default footer, links to social media, has the ability for subscribers to link to their subscriber profile, as well as unsubscribe from messages and a help option. So this is currently set up as the default. Here on the footers, you could potentially, using this little bracket button to the right of the preview button, get the source code for this, copy it, and create a new footer, kind of using this as your beginning starting point. So I copied all of that HTML CSS code. I can go back to footers. I can say create new footer, back to the source code again, paste that in, and kind of start here. I could then, you know, perhaps change the link, select a social media icon here, click on that chain link icon, and potentially update that, you know, if it's for Parks and Rec or it's for a new department that's been onboarded. Maybe you also would delete some of these. Maybe they don't have all of those social media icons. You could change the name here instead of this macro in brackets that will autofill with Clark County. You could say, you know, Clark County Parks and Rec or something like that. And then up at the top, save that with a name. And the save button is down here at the bottom. So again, footers is an area you might find yourself in a little bit more. You do have the ability, again, to both create and modify existing footers. From addresses, down here at the bottom, the last piece, this is primarily for informational purposes only. As account administrators, you can't actually modify a from address or set up a from address. That needs to be handled by either us at this point in time, or once the project is complete, handled by our customer support team. So if you have a need for a new from address, and we're waiting on getting a few in here from our support team, if you have a need for a new one down the line, you can always put in that request. The team's happy to set it up for you. It's just not an area that you can work in yourselves. But it will display or show you all of the from addresses in your account. So at the moment, we just kind of have a default one using our subdomain. We're going to get some additional ones in here that are using your custom subdomain that you've set up. So account settings, again, in the upper right corner, something that is unique to your guys' role as account administrators. Usually not a ton you'll find yourself doing in the account settings, but know that you have access to that and have the ability to modify some of that. I'm going to pause there and see if anyone has any questions about some of the info we just covered.
Has our subdomain been completed?
We're waiting on the DKIM deploy. So some of the from addresses have been completed. We just haven't put them in there yet because we want to get that last piece.
Yeah, and I just saw an update. I just saw an update that they're just testing it right now. So I think they did the deploy. They're just making sure everything works right. So hopefully by tomorrow when we check in, we'll know for sure that it's set and all good. But the last I saw, they were just doing some testing before wrapping up that work.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions before we move on to the next couple of items?
I'm good.
Cool. So I mentioned categories and topics. We'll take a peek at those next. I had said that we have categories set up for the four groups that have turned in their intake documents. I'm going to click on categories on the left-hand side of the screen here. When I do that, it shows me in the middle of the screen some of the categories that have been created. You guys, as account administrators, have the ability to create new categories, edit existing categories. Group administrators can also. Topic administrators cannot. If you just saw a chat message there and got kind of distracted reading it. Sorry. We are trying to follow this kind of naming convention with the account. So again, because this is a large or will potentially grow to a large account, there are going to be many categories, many topics, many administrators. So when we're building them, we're putting kind of an acronym associated with them. So this isn't maybe as important for like a group or a topic administrator that logs in and maybe only sees things for admin services. But for you guys, as the account administrators, you guys log in and you're going to see everything. So it's sometimes helpful if a category name, you know, isn't readily clear who it belongs to. It's sometimes helpful to have kind of the acronym in front of it. So these categories aren't maybe a great example because they're just basically named after, you know, the department. But when we look at topics, you'll see what I mean, I think. If you want to either edit or create a new category, they both bring you to kind of similar looking screens. So I'm clicking on the admin services category here, and I'm shown the category information. So a few different fields here. The first field up here that is just simply called name. And then below that, we have a short name. The name field is internal facing. So that's why we have this naming convention or the acronym in front of the category name. The short name, this second field, is public facing, and we're not using that naming convention there. So you guys see logging in, the top category name. The public, if I go back to the sign up page, sees that short name. So know that that's why the difference between the two names. Short name is public, and the first one is internal. This description field or box is not required, but it would show up next to the category name here on this page as a little lowercase I in a blue bubble that would give people more information. So if I just put a little bit of text in this description field, refresh that sign up page, you guys might see what I mean. So you could say something about what the subscriber might receive, and I will delete that in just a second, but just want to refresh the page here and show you that now I get this little lowercase I, and if I hover my mouse over it, it will say what's in that description field. So you can use that if you'd like, but again, not required. The code here is generated automatically by the system and should be left alone. If you wanted to nest categories within each other, so if you wanted to create another category for admin services, you could then nest it within this kind of broader admin services category. Below that, the complete quick subscribe page means that if you had a link to this category sign up, that after somebody completed that, they would be shown the complete quick subscribe page, which again is this page with all of the categories and all of the topics. Allow subscriptions should be set to no. If that is changed to yes, someone is automatically subscribed to all topics in the category. So that's not a great, you know, subscriber experience. That should be left to no. The default open refers to whether on this page the category is open or closed. So if it's collapsed, it won't show all of those topics. Somebody would have to click on that plus sign to show the topics. But if it's open, it will show all of the topics. As your account grows, you might want to, you know, consider having some of them, some of the categories closed, some of them open, or all one way or all another way. So default open set to yes means that that will be kind of expanded and show all of the topics there. On the right hand side, again, we kind of have this side menu that I mentioned before as a common theme. We've got snippets, so same thing there. You could find little snippets of code for signing up to this category or showing the topics within that category. Below that here, we have the topics that are included in this category. So you can see here the topics that exist in the category. And then on the right, we have the available other topics that could be added into the category if you'd like. Excuse me. You do have the ability to potentially rearrange topics. So if for some reason, you know, you wanted down here, if we wanted government affairs and the Laughlin Town Manager's Office to appear before the district newsletters, you could either renumber these or, clicking on the left-hand side, kind of drag and reorder them. And then you would update the category. So there we just looked at kind of editing an existing category. If you were to create a new category on your own, that display is very similar. Again, we have the name field, which is internal facing. And if you do, you know, set up a new one, try and remember kind of an acronym or, you know, department identifier ahead of that. And then the short name, the short name will, I would say, autofill with whatever you put in the name field. So if you did put in kind of that department identifier, you would want to remove it from that short name field. And then the save button is here. Here's where, you know, if you had another admin category, as I mentioned, you could kind of place it within that existing admin category. So if this was kind of a subcategory, give it that parent category and it would kind of nest within that existing category. So that's a brief overview of categories. Topics are similar. The display here is similar, but topics are where your email addresses are stored. It's what people subscribe to. So it's kind of that level below categories, but very similar in how they're displayed, how they're set up. I click on topics on the left-hand side of the screen. I'm shown all categories in the entire account. So again, as account administrators, you guys see everything, but, you know, a group administrator from admin services, for example, would log in and they would see just the admin topics. You know, the same for Parks and Rec or the DA's office. They would log in and see just their two topics. So here, I think, is where those naming conventions become a little more important and the importance becomes a little more visible. You can see that it is sort of helpful to see who the topic belongs to. If you just have something called media releases, you might wonder offhand, you know, is that DA's media releases? Is that Parks and Rec media releases? And that acronym kind of helps identify that. Here we have the topic name. That code that's automatically generated, and you'll see the code at the end of a topic-specific signup URL. So that's where the code comes into play, and that's why it shouldn't be changed. Subscriptions here, zero. This refers to the number of email addresses or phone numbers that are subscribed to a topic. So the only one with a couple was the testing for the newsletter testing topic for commissioners, two subscribers. Visibility here, this refers to kind of who can see the topic on signups. If it's listed, that means the topic will display to the public when they, you know, come through this signup process. You can change the visibility here from listed to unlisted. So for example, the district attorney's office wants to have a media releases topic that is unlisted, excuse me, meaning it won't show up under their category. So for the DA, all that is shown are community updates. An unlisted topic you can manually upload email addresses to, send a bulletin to, It just means that the public can't sign up for it. To the right of that, we have page watch information. Again, that's that automation feature. So page watch enabled, not currently enabled on any topics, but if in the future you want to do some testing or exploring with page watch, if you guys have any RSS feeds that are updated or any, you know, web pages where you post information that you think would fit well with a topic, we could do some testing for you to see how PageWatch works with that. Editing an existing topic is very similar to the category. Again, we have the two different name fields referring to internal and external. That description box that would, again, render like that lowercase I. I think I deleted that. So if I refresh here, that should go away. Maybe it's cached, or maybe I need to make sure I did delete it. I didn't. Cool. So topic setup, very similar. One difference down here, you do have the ability to set up wireless alerts or text messaging. So this topic for District A newsletter does not have text messaging subscriptions enabled, but you could set that to yes. Here, the subscription restrictions, as I mentioned under the account settings, if you had set up a subscription restriction, such as, you know, only .gov email addresses or something like that can sign up, you would see that as an option to apply here. But currently no restrictions are set up in the account settings. Looking at this topic, we have this right-hand submenu and a couple noteworthy things on this right-hand submenu. Most importantly, I think, subscribers. This fourth menu item down on the right, if we are to click on that, this is how we could view any existing subscribers or upload any new subscribers. Also delete subscribers if we need to. So in the middle or near the top here, this would show any existing subscribers, but we would have to hit the search button first. Even if this topic had 100 subscribers, they wouldn't display by default. So if you're ever in here and don't see any subscribers, don't be alarmed. You might just have to hit that search button. This particular topic doesn't have any subscribers, so even if I hit search, it's not going to display any. Down below here, bulk edit subscribers, add subscribers. This is where we could upload some new email addresses. And there are two different ways to upload the email addresses. You can either type or paste kind of directly into this editor window, or you can upload via a file. If you upload via a file, it does have to be saved as a CSV file. Uploading subscribers is something that all administrators can do for topics to which they have access. So topic administrators that are assigned to just two topics, they can actually upload their own subscribers to those two topics. This is one thing that isn't unique to account administrators. You guys have this ability, but so do group and so do topic admins. Here on the add subscribers box, if you're working in this window, you can either paste a bunch of email addresses in here. Maybe you have them in a column in Excel. You could copy that entire column, hundreds, thousands, and paste them into this window. Scroll down and hit save. It does say to enter one email address per line or have them separated by a comma. So either format will work. You can either So that's just kind of a one per line type of format there, or simply separated by a comma. and then scroll down and hit save, and you will get an email letting you know how that upload went. If there were any typos or invalid entries, something's missing a .com or a .gov at the end, or something's missing an at symbol, things like that are not going to be uploaded, and you'll be notified of that in the email that's sent to you. If there are any duplicates in your list, duplicates are ignored, not uploaded, so that's kind of nice. You don't have to worry about that. Another area on the right-hand side that is kind of helpful is this snippets tab. So this is where you can see, again, sign-up options for a particular topic. So if we were to open this in a new tab, we're going to be able to get a URL that would lead subscribers directly to District A newsletters. So up at the top, you can see it's the URL is kind of appended with topic ID equals NVClark4. So that's where that topic ID comes into play. I do want to show you if you're creating a new topic. So creating a new topic is something that is limited to either you as an account administrator or a group administrator. A topic administrator cannot create a new topic. And that is kind of a good way to keep the account, you know, sort of under wraps and not have it grow wildly or out of control. If you are creating a new topic for somebody, there are a couple of steps that are important to know about. After the topic is created, you'll need to assign it to a category. So if I come to create a topic and I just create kind of a test topic with that acronym or naming convention, and maybe I'll just pick actually here something that actually exists. So we'll say admin test topic. And we'll move through here. We won't have that admin in the public-facing short name. We'll keep the description blank. Most of the other stuff, you could change the visibility to listed or unlisted if you'd like. I'll make it unlisted. Page watch is automatically set to yes, but it doesn't really matter because it's not set to watch a URL. So you could save it like this. Or you could turn page watch to no. Either way, it doesn't matter. I'll just leave it on yes for an example. And if I hit save here, once it saves, up at the top of the screen, you'll notice I get a couple of messages or alerts. Green check mark telling me the topic's been created. That's great. But then it's telling me I need to add this topic to a category. And it's also telling me that page watch is enabled, but it's not watching any URLs. So this is all information that's helpful. Here it's showing me the categories for which I can assign this new topic to. And because I called the topic admin underscore test topic, naturally I'm going to assign it to the admin services category. So this is an important step. When you create a new topic, they should always be assigned to a category for a couple of reasons. One, it's going to help keep your account kind of orderly. You don't want topics that are not assigned to any categories. And two, in order for a topic to be displayed to the public, it has to be both listed and also assigned to a category. If you create a topic and make it listed but don't assign it to a category, it's not going to show up on a page like this. So assigning a new topic to a category, even if it's unlisted, is important, keeps things orderly, but very important if it's going to be a listed topic. So we'll just go ahead and hit save there. Up at the top, it's going to tell me that topic category assignments have been submitted for processing. So that just kind of runs quickly in the background. And then you would see that the topic has been assigned to that category. If I come back to topics, again, it's showing me all topics in the account. I could delete this test topic here that I just created. Are you sure you want to delete the selected topic? Yep. And just get rid of that test topic. One other bit of helpful information here when looking at topics. So it's showing me topics for all categories. You can also kind of filter this by saying topics that have no categories. So there shouldn't be any in here, but it is sometimes helpful to check. You could search, okay, thank goodness, you know, we don't have any kind of orphan topics out there, but this is an area that you might occasionally want to check on. If you see a topic that doesn't have a category, hopefully the topic has a department kind of naming convention or acronym in front of it. You could then assign the topic to its, you know, category that it belongs to. But you can also see, if you don't want to see all of the topics, you just want to see topics for a particular category, you can kind of filter that here. So that's kind of helpful to see. Any questions from you guys about maybe uploading subscribers to a topic or working with a topic, creating a topic? Anybody think of anything that I said that was confusing or didn't make sense? Did I move too quickly? Did I lose anyone? Confuse anyone?
I'm good.
Good deal. Okay. So that covers categories and topics. There's one other area that we wanted to cover today, and then we're going to save some of the other account administrator information for kind of a follow-up session. So here, the last thing I wanted to point out that is unique to you guys as account administrators. Group administrators actually do have access to administrators. They can set up a topic administrator, but you guys as account administrators can set up, you know, fellow account administrators, fellow group administrators, that type of thing. So if I click on administrators on the left here, we can see all of the administrators in the account. Currently, account administrators, and then Alex as a group administrator. You can filter by role here. If somebody is set up as a group administrator, again, we're kind of trying to follow that naming convention. So just putting a hyphen after their last name and then, you know, which department or group they belong to. If you're creating a new administrator at the account level, it's pretty straightforward and pretty easy because they have access to everything. But if you are setting up a group or a topic administrator, there's an important step after you create them where you have to assign them topics for which they can work with. So it's the same for group administrators. It's the same for topic administrators. So I'm going to set myself up here as a topic administrator and then show you how after I hit save, I need to assign topics for this new admin. So I'm going to hit save here. Up at the top, it says the administrator was created. Now, technically, this person could log in. They'll get that email that says, click here to set up your password. You've been set up. But if they were to log in, there's really not a lot they can do because they haven't been assigned topics. So it's not super obvious, but over here on the right-hand side, we have topics. We click on that once. Now we're showing all of the topics in the account. And here, you know, maybe I am a new admin for parks, so I can pick that parks topic, and I will pick the second parks topic and hit save. And now I can work with those two topics. I can upload subscribers. I can send a bulletin to them. But without assigning topics for this new administrator, they really couldn't do anything except log in, maybe view some reports, but not even a whole lot there. So when creating a new group or a new topic administrator, it's important to assign them topics here on the right after you hit save on the new administrator. Any questions about that, creating a new admin, assigning topics to them? And if no questions about that, I'll kind of pause for questions about kind of this first session of account administrator training. Again, we're going to do a second session where we hope to cover some of the templates, setting up questions and macros, things like that. But that covers the info that we wanted to hit on for the first session. So we've got, I don't know, 8 minutes left, 7 minutes left, where we can answer any questions. Anyone thinking of something, maybe not even related to what we just talked about, just a Gov delivery question or thought in general?
How many categories are we allowed to have?
That's a good question. It probably says in your contract. I don't know if it would say categories, but it might say a topic limit. We can look at that. I don't have it in front of me.
There probably is some contractual limit that they put, but there's nothing that in the system that enforces that. So it's not something that, like, when you hit 100 or something like that, it stops flooding you. So generally speaking, you know, you create the categories and topics that you need to make use of the system. But being mindful that there probably is some cap at some point as the account grows, you know, you might hit upon, but it's not something that is like that, you know, we're going to, again, get to a certain point and say you can't add anymore, because you can keep adding them in the account as you're going along. But that's something that you as account administrators have the permission to do.
Gotcha.
I thought it was more around how many different departments or agencies we had. Like, I
there,
thought we
there
had
is language
38.
In the contract for the number of groups that can use the Gov delivery system. But then there's always standard inclusions in our contracts, like all of them that always have like some kind of number of categories and topics. But they don't, not that they don't enforce it, they don't really use that number because it's less indicative of how you're using the system. The number of groups that you have, which I think is 37 is the number off the top of my head, is how many like different groups, different discrete like group segments, group identities can use Gov delivery. So if hypothetically each one of those had a category and then they had subcategories underneath, I mean, that would be totally fine and kind of acceptable, something we would expect for how you would use the system.
Okay, thanks.
Questions. Any others out there? Hopefully you feel like you learned something today. Hopefully you've all been able to set up a password and log in.
Yes, I've been able to do that. And the interface seems fairly straightforward too, so shouldn't be too bad once we're on our own.
Yeah, I think just kind of, you know, exploring a little bit, logging in, poking around, especially now while we don't have like a lot of subscribers uploaded to topics, it's a pretty safe environment at this point. If you guys, you know, wanted to create a test topic and upload yourselves as subscribers to a test topic, that's kind of a good way or good homework assignment, something that's a common practice throughout the throughout the software. I also want to kind of remind you or point out the support link again. And one thing that I don't think I mentioned about it before is it's often linked to an article related to kind of where you are in the system. So if I click on support right now while viewing topics or administrators, oh, and of course this one's going to make me look silly. It wasn't linked to an article, but let's see if I hit it now while viewing administrators. There we go. So I hit the support link while looking at that administrator window, and it brings up articles related to how I can create a new administrator or remove existing administrators, assign topics, and that type of thing. So I just like to point that out because I think it's a helpful tool. Basically, you're in the account working, you can hit that support link, and hopefully most of the time it brings up an article kind of related to what you're working on. Anything else before we wrap up here?
Just real quick about the second session. Are we wanting to schedule that this week if people have time, or next week? What are we looking at?
Yeah, we're happy.
I think for me personally, sorry, go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, I think the next couple of days are a little more full, but, you know, we might be able to squeeze it in. Otherwise, I know next week I'm pretty open at the moment. So if we could look to next week, that might be a little better. But if this week works and we can find a time, we could try and squeeze it in.
Okay. I'll check with Tanya and Mike.
Yeah, so if you want to coordinate schedules like you did last time, that would be great, and let us know some time slots that work for you guys, and we'll get something on the calendar for early next week.
All right. Sounds good.
Great. And we're still on for tomorrow's check-in. I just sent an agenda around, so I look forward to connecting tomorrow on that.
Great.
Awesome.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you all for your time and your attention.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Talk tomorrow, Ben. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Bye.
Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.